welcome to The Weed Out, where we weed out the nonsense, talk about the bullshit happening in our backyard. I'm Spencer Fox Peterson, along with always my host, my co-host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna May Booty.
Hey, Joanna. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. It's fall.
Well, almost. Don't push that on me.
Yeah. But, to me, it's the beginning of fall.
It's almost there. Yeah, we're almost there.
It's, you know, with our fall holidays like 9/11.
the ultimate propaganda day.
Yeah, ultimate propaganda day. So we're doing a special edition of The Weed Out today. We don't have a guest. We're just going to opine on the war on terror, Patriot Act, 9/11. I mean, today is 9/11. It happened 22 years ago. 3,000 people were victimized and thousands, countless more, were victimized by an act of violence. And some of them were our fellow countrymen. Some of them were probably laborers that weren't technically our countrymen, but were in New York City. And then all the people that, because of the trickle-down effect of that act of terror, caused lots of pain. You know, think being a Muslim and going through TSA the last 20 years. Try to even not look like a cis hetero white guy going through TSA. 9/11 is really an inflection point, and it's not simply some Muslim men were upset with Western financial capitalism. They were, but they were also trained by our intelligence services to fight guerrilla wars against the Soviets during the Cold War era. And then when we abandoned them, just like the Soviets abandoned them, they rightfully had beef with the West.
Who doesn't? I mean, let's just be real about the United States presence in the world. Like, one of my favorite films on this would be World Police. I know that that is satire, but it is how we are, and we've been for so long. We are imperialists. We are colonizers. We go to any country. We step in. We decide, okay, we're going to train you to do this. And then, like you just said, we either abandon them and leave the country war-torn, or I don't know, it could be worse. So for me, it is not surprising that something would have happened. And at the time, they were saying, like, intelligence, like the higher level intelligence people in our country, like that work for the federal government, did know that something was going to happen. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, and we've talked about this a lot together, the Patriot Act was able to be, like, easily put into place because of this horrible thing that happened. And I'm someone at the time who was in college, and I remember being outraged at it then. And I don't know if enough people really reflect on how that really changed things. And I don't think for the better, privacy wise.
Absolutely not. And it led to two wars that were illegal wars.
Exactly.
People and hurt people that had nothing to do with 9/11. We have been bullied and fear-mongered to be complicit with heinous acts. They're countless. I mean, countless. And we're still living with them today. You know, Guantanamo Bay is still there.
Yeah.
And, like, Joanna and I can just literally throw buzzwords because it all goes back to, you know, basically the end of World War II. This is all part of the same conflict and struggle for global hegemony. And we're not foreign policy experts. I don't claim to be, but we see direct correlation. And it's not that we believe there's puppet masters. It's more that it's aligned interests and profit motive. And then the natural fallout of when you do things like interfere in other countries' elections or kill their leaders, like we did in Chile, for example. you know, it seems unrelated, but that's the same kind of stuff we were doing in Afghanistan and we're doing in Iraq and all. It's the same policy. And it's all to really, at the end of the day, it's really to benefit the business owner, the capitalists, the people that own the means of production. I mean, and that's that they all have vested interest in United States securing resources like rubber.
Yes, exactly. Or oil.
Oil or whatever. And, you know, I remember specifically. So when 9/11 happened, I was 14 years old. I just turned 14. I was a freshman out of all boys preparatory school. Didn't know anybody first week. That first week, you have your orientation. You meet all the priests and all the people that are, you're supposed to, no matter what, fall in line. Like, Catholic school is hierarchy. There is no challenging the people above you. It's like the military. So you're having these orientations where, like, these people are above reproach. Third, fourth day of school, 9/11 happens. You're being inundated with anti-Muslim rhetoric already. And then at that same time, the Boston Globe, directly across the street on Morrissey Boulevard in Dorchester, where I went to high school, released an expose about decades-long child pedophilia cover-ups, specifically at my high school and the churches and stuff I frequented as a child. So all at once, I'm seeing my worlds crumble. You know, the United States is a bad actor in the world, and we're ripping repercussions, and real people are being hurt. And then people I know have been hurt by the church, and the church has been covering it up with the aid of police, DAs, powerful business people. It's a lot to take in at 14 years old. And I remember thinking 2-3 years into the world of war of Iraq, I know nothing about the world, right? But I do know, like, why are they lying to us? Like, just tell us you're going to steal oil. Like, that makes more sense to me. It doesn't make it okay, but I'd rather that than be lied to. Like, there's no correlation between 9/11 and Iraq. There just isn't. So why did we go there first? You know, you know, we're still cozy with the Saudis. Like, Trump has a fucking golf thing with them. We buy oil from them. We bow down when they decide to fuck with oil prices before an election. Jared Kushner got $2 billion. Steve Mnuchin, the former Secretary of Treasury, got $1 billion. Kushner got $2 billion, not $1 million. So meanwhile, all these bad actors that funded 9/11, we're buddies with. It makes no sense.
Well, and the only sense it makes is what you've already said. It's really based on profit and resources. And I think at the time when we were finally told, like, literally, I can't remember, but I think it was potentially Colin Powell, they ended up having briefings after the Iraq war. So I was a freshman in college when 9/11 happened. So it definitely must have been much harder at 14. It was even hard, I would say, at 18 or 19. Because I just felt like it was hard to understand, like you said, like what's happening fully, and the government, like why is the government lying to us? And my friends and I formed like Students Against the War, and we were very much opposed to the Patriot Act. And the fact that when you found out in the end that the Iraq War was basically, like Spencer said, like a fabricated thing where we just attacked a random country after 9/11 happened.
Not to interrupt, but not even if there, you couldn't say there's resources in Iraq that we wanted, though we did loot and pillage all their like rich families.
Right.
And that's well documented that we stole from people there, just regular civilians. But the money laundering scheme that is the military industrial complex, we were basically running checks to these contractors, Lockheed Martin, and who benefits shareholders, which are everyday Americans. So you see how everybody's profit interests align. And then, you know, every American of every, you know, economic background and social background has possibly some racism in them. So that's also another thing that can cross coalition lines. Yeah, the oligarchs, the rich people, may hate brown people just as much as the poor white person. They actually genuinely might actually believe, hey, we're gonna go bomb these brown people, we fucking hate them, this isn't an excuse. But oh, and we also profit off this.
Well, yeah, so
like, and also possibly it could be more focused on racism, but ultimately the common denominator is being able to profit off it.
Yes. And they're like we said, dude, there aren't like puppet people, like masters running the world. It's very wealthy people who governments listen to. Governments are part of those wealthy entities. Protecting, they're doing that to protect the wealthy because those people are important players in the power structures that exist. I think 9/11 is and like we said at the beginning, it's like the ultimate example of propaganda because it's 22 years, it has been 22 years. And the amount of television shows that are very nostalgia and dramatized to the point where it's hard to even, I mean, I haven't watched anything like that. And I don't even know if I ever have. But for me, it's just, it's clearly taking an event that was very horrible and using it in a way to play on our feelings and play on nostalgia for the country and to get us to band together against an other and to make us afraid and afraid enough that we would allow the government to then come up with things like the Patriot Act or the war on Iraq. And we would all just not, and I'm not saying everyone did this, but I mean, at the time, the government entities that get to decide on things just thought it was the right thing to do. And it was very, very few people voting against it or standing out against it at those top federal levels. And that, I know that's usually the case with these things, but I guess like the level of like, the level of the use of the event, like the amount of times it's been used and the way it's been used is very unethical to me because they're using the people as pawns, the situation to scare us. And again, like, I just do not think we needed to have something like the Patriot Act shoved down the American people's throats. Even if we did have an event like 9/11 happen.
Yeah. And, you know, this is going to be the rare time where I feel bad for cops. But like, this is why I say cops are class traitors and they will let you die.
Right.
The powers that be do not care if you die, and they will use your death for 20 plus years to justify horrific, horrific war crimes. Never forget that these officers and firefighters died. Yeah, they died. They fucking died. And that fucking sucks. And they're going to have cancer and all this shit. But like, they chose to take those jobs to work for a monster. And that is, the monster is US foreign policy and domestic policy. And it's really sucks that people have to be died, but had to die. And then even insult injury, they're still being used as a reason to do horrific things. So that to me is the outrage. And when people tell you, oh, you know, today's a solemn day, don't make this political. Well, they're making it political. They're politicizing the death of people to their ends, whether it's the police state saying like, you can't question us, we're willing to die for you. To pull on our heartstrings. Like today, I've already gotten two I didn't tell you this, Joanna, but I've already gotten two robocalls from those police benevolent associations. Asking
wow.
So
and the more I see on those, I don't know if anyone listening has been watching. I don't think you have, spent the docuseries on those and how corrupt they are and how it works. I will plug it in the show links because I can't remember the name, but it's like a three-part docuseries and it really shows like how those calls are some scamming stuff too, and how the police allow that to happen. So it's just on all levels, really shady.
Even, and everybody at home, even if it is actually a police benevolent association of some kind, it is it's still a grift and a scam. So even
yes,
ones, like the actual, it's a scam. And I just ask them every time to get them to hang up. I pay attention to my line items on my local police budget. They're getting a lot of money. What's happening with that money? Why do you need more off the books, like not through the municipal budget? Like, what do you need more for? What's happening to all? And they always hang up. Or their robocalls, their AI calls. They're that now too. So regardless, it's one of those things We need to push back on the narrative. We need to, and when somebody says it's just exactly, you said it's like propaganda, right? Oh, you can't do
super.
That. Well, that's the whole point. That's literally the whole point. It's so we can never have a critical conversation, because then you
exactly
the humanity of victims, which is legitimate, but it's to derail the actual cause and root of why we're in this predicament, of why we're here. And it didn't just happen on 9/11. This is rooted in the policy in the 80s with Iran-Contra. It's very well documented. Like Clinton, Reagan, Nixon, every administration that was involved in the Cold War is responsible for 9/11, like directly responsible. So we are too. And like, you know, we've said to people in the past that we as white people, part of dismantling white supremacy and racial capitalism is we have to own the fact that these institutions that give us protection just because we have white skin, and protection is relative, right? Like our life is not harder because of our skin. Whereas if you're a black person, it's harder. And you can't change that. You can't fix that. Money, nothing can change that. You can make it slightly less, but it's really like winning the lottery. So it's not really an option. But we directly benefit from these policies because it maintains power. So, you know, 9/11, you know, never forget that Boston police and FBIs in Boston let those terrorists get on those planes, and they know who these terrorists were.
They did. Bush did it.
Then they, oh, I don't know about that, but like,
I know. Is, like, I just love to say, like, that.
Oh, cops are the heroes. You know what a hero would have done? They would have used those ridiculous budgets we've given them, and they probably could have maybe intervened in. They can't. You can't do it.
Well, this is one of those situations, though, where they're using this example of propaganda, and like they're saying, oh, the police are doing like such a good job or need more money. Well, we've given them so much more money at this point that it's absurd, but like, at that time, they did have intel, and like, why didn't they prevent this from happening?
Well, and the reality is they can't, like, or else you have the minority report. Like, you do have to wait till people commit crimes. Like, you can't preempt them. It's a false narrative. That's why cops preventing crimes is laughable. It's like, no, they can't.
Well, but like taking weapons onto planes and things like that. Like, I do think.
I don't think they brought any guns on those planes, though. I think that was
I think it was box cutters. Yeah, they just held people. But that's why, like, we can't even take nail clippers on planes now.
Yeah, we're the only ones that pay. We have to create more time for travel. You know, travel costs went up because of all the infrastructure and the security systems. We're the ones who ultimately pay for it. The working class people.
And I do want them to make sure we're safe when we're getting onto a plane, but
we have to allow more time than we used to have to.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of people are traveling for fucking work. So it affects the quote unquote precious economy. Like, you know, like not everybody's traveling for pleasure.
No, I agree.
Then, like, you should be able to have an efficient experience, and you shouldn't, because of our policies that people are mad at us, like, that I don't even benefit from these policies. Like, I don't benefit from the US war machine. I mean, I do having white skin, but like, I'm not a shareholder in Lockheed Martin.
Right. But I think too, like the Patriot Act stuff that made it so that like we're being quote unquote so protected on getting onto planes and stuff, it really ended up being, and I think there's, I'm not sure, but I will look after I say these statements out loud. I think there are probably data to show that racial profiling became a huge issue, and that people were just targeted. Like, if I could have probably walked through with a gun, but like, if you had dark skin, they would be targeting you.
They'd be going after your bottle of shampoo.
I just think it didn't necessarily, like, all these privacy acts that took away more and more of our freedoms and allowed for what we're facing today, which is like, I mean, you can't really do anything about it now. It led the way. It wasn't like it really made things better, because like, how do you train people to not be unethical racists when they're in the position of like air cop? I don't know.
In a culture that is inherently a white supremacy culture, and the people that have the connections to get those jobs, to, you're already an established person in this society. Like, that's not something we give to the outsiders. So that's why these biases perpetuate and stay in these institutions. That's why Joanne and I are abolitionists. We just recognize that some of the stuff can't be reformed and it's rotted from the inside out because of the people that have first in line to get these jobs.
Well, and like the systems in play or their SOPs that have been in place for so long that at this point, I mean, if we really, and I completely agree with everything you said, Spencer, this is just adding to it. Like, if we really felt like at this point in society that we wanted to change things, we could do that. Like, we can change the language. We can change the way that the institution is set up and structured. And people who freak out and act like that's super extreme, I just wonder, like, have you never had a job? Like, have you not worked in, like, an office? Like, have you not edited a paper in college where you just threw the whole thing out and redid it? So I just, to me, I don't understand how it's so radical and extreme to think that way, because I always want to make things more efficient, safer, and more helpful for all of us. And truly, I believe that we should all want that. It's not a radical thing to want that for all of us.
No, it's not. And I guess my head is like, yes, we can change the SOPs, but like, if we just changed our foreign domestic policy writ large.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But I think that would take more time, and then we'd have to maybe go slow even. And I hate to say that as an abolitionist, but I think it's because we're so, as a military industrial like power, embedded in so many countries that like, I don't even know what us pulling out entirely like all at once would look like.
Yeah.
We've just like meshed ourselves into like, and made ourselves this giant. But yeah, if we could please just even cut military spending by a small amount, because it's actually over 50% of our federal budget.
Yeah. And also keep in mind that since 9/11, our police have become paramilitary. They call themselves paramilitary. Ron Sellen in Mansfield, as you know, Laura Saylor, one of our favorite guests, always talks about. Like, he actually self-proclaims that they can be social workers and they're a paramilitary. Like, how does that doesn't make any fucking sense? And it can't. It's completely diametrically opposed in
You have to pass like a board test to be a social worker too. Like, he just sounds like such an asshole.
He just wants a monopoly of control over the community. And that's as simple as, again, it's
belittling other workers too, though. It's like, oh, well, I could just do that.
Right.
It's like, no, you can't, dude.
But since 9/11, police budgets have skyrocketed.
Oh, skyrocketed. That's the problem too.
Our military budget has ballooned too. So,
oh, absolutely.
The number one most expensive military and military budget in the world. We also have the number three in our policing. So our domestic policing, not including like CIA or any of that stuff, just our domestic policing is the third most expensive military budget in the world. The only one that's even close is China. That's
it. They're huge. It makes sense, kind of, if there's another police state, but
they're a big economy. So like, but we still, so, but you add up our police budget and our military budget, and it's like three or four of the Chinese military budget.
Yeah, which makes sense. That's what I mean about our military. We are just out of control.
And crime persists, people. So
yeah, they're not doing anything.
Money, and it doesn't seem that the solutions we've been invested in work.
Right. That's like the long term. Like, we've tried this for so long. We've been investing this much money for like now 20 years. Maybe it's only been 15 because it took this long to get the Patriot Act really revved up. But now but I'm just saying, exactly. But we're seeing this now, and it's like, we've had time to see like what they've done after 9/11. We've had time to see what more money does. We've had time to see what police reform does or what certain things do in different cities. And it doesn't work. So I don't know. I guess the people who think it's radical, it's like, well, what do we do? Just stay like pumping money into things that don't work and harming each other. Like, I just, as much as people like to ask me, like, what are the solutions? I would like to throw that back at someone else. Like, are you really just okay with this? Is how I feel to some people.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Yeah. And like, the amount of money we spend on, you know, imprisoning people when you could house people.
Wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Save money. It's actually a money saver. And if they have food and they, you know, have access to all the things they need, and we do that for multiple generations, we'll heal some wounds that our society has. And like, that's the issue. It's like, it's not just about suturing up the wound. We need to like do surgery, go in, clean out the infection. And I hate to use that terminology because it sounds kind of eugenicist, but like the culture of white supremacy and racial capitalism, always needing somebody to other, always needing somebody to blame. The fact that you could turn prisoners into a prophet somehow, like, that's dark shit. It's dark. And we need to root that out. And we need to frame this differently. And these policies are what leads to 9/11. I know it sounds roundabout, but 9/11 also was used to massively inflate the police state, which we have states outlawing abortion, you know, healthcare, control over one's own body. And the fall of Roe is not simply the fall of women's healthcare, it's the fall of the right to privacy for all. And it's really bad. And it's really bad in the sense of, if you keep investing in more police and you're putting license plate readers on interstates in blue states that can be subpoenaed by other law enforcement agencies because you're using a third party apparatus like a private company to collect that data, that could be used against people trying to get healthcare.
I know, it's fucked.
So liberal, stop giving police money. They spend it on shit that gets us hurt.
Well, and like, losing body autonomy goes beyond privacy. So like, that's another one where I really just have, it's a big, like, I don't know, fuck off to anyone who thinks that it's okay that this was overturned. Or thinks like women or people who are just upset about other people's body autonomy. Like, I understand how people were outraged at this. I'm still outraged at this. It's almost like embarrassing for our country, in my opinion, too, because we're supposed to care so much about like human rights and ethics and be like the best country on earth. And it's so fucked up that we would just like overturn something from the 70s and be like, women can't decide on their own healthcare. Because it's true, like you said, Spencer, like, they'll eventually come for men. So I just feel like anyone who thinks this is okay,
trans people are next.
You're fucked. And any group of people who could be othered is next. Exactly.
Police will still pick and choose. The prosecutors will still pick and choose who they enforce on. And now we've taken away these privacy protections because HIPAA, you know, our healthcare privacy is tied to Roe. The reason that law could exist was because Roe was standing precedent. We're not lawyers here. This is day one shit. Like, you don't have to be a fucking constitutional law expert to understand what's happening.
Well, no, and the people who are out there who think like, oh, well, you and Spencer are maybe overreacting about Roe because, I don't know, the cops keep us safe. And like, but who the hell is going to enforce these laws where, in the states where it is made illegal, who's going to be the ones arresting a 15-year-old teenager for trying to get an abortion because she needs one? Or even someone my age who just might die, or anyone. We don't need to fucking explain why we need to do what we need to do with our bodies. First of all, that's the sick fucking part of all of this. Like, no one owes anyone an explanation over their health care. And it's between you and your doctor and your family. And honestly, I believe you and your doctor. So I just think, if you're someone who thinks like we need police, like, you're basically, I don't know, it's sick. You believe that they're going to be the ones enforcing these laws. Like, children will end up being arrested for making decisions, or women or people who just can give birth for making decisions about their health care. If that doesn't scare someone, I don't know what to say to you.
And if you live in a progressive blue left, whatever the fuck you want to call it, place like we do in Massachusetts, we're giving them all the tools to use. So like, mm-hmm. Northampton, for example, puts these dash cameras on a cloud service managed by a third party, and they claim themselves as a sanctuary city. Meanwhile, this information of all this dragnet of cameras can be accessed by ICE.
Right.
Because they have to do is subpoena a third party, and the third party company is just going to be like, no sweat off our back. Here you go. They have no.
And this goes back to the Patriot Act, to bring it full circle. Like, this is like, these things were not, wouldn't have been legal necessarily, and would have been much more like more scrutiny would have been put on things like this before the Patriot Act went into effect. Once that went into effect, there were a lot of things, and honestly, it was a lot of things.
The argument for the license plate readers is primarily to get human traffickers and drug traffickers. Everybody knows our stance on the drug war, right? Bullshit. Human trafficking is the real fucking problem. And you know what? If we're having such a problem, let's look at the one institution we have total control over as civilians, as voters, as people that pay taxes. Let's look at CPS. Let's look at DCF.
Right. Even elder services, all of them are abusive, I feel.
The people falling through the cracks, which they become the traffickers. Those systems are what are this deep state cabal is real in a way. Like, ask anybody who's been in the foster care system. They'll tell you, man, like, kids fall through the cracks. That's where the leak is. So, like, you know, you're getting all mad at school librarians for being groomers. And saying they're the one. No, it's the DCF being a fucking shithole white supremacist institution that doesn't give a fuck about brown people, white people. It doesn't give a fuck about anybody because you're poor and disposable. And we as voters focus on shit like that as a culture. Like, it's not as simple as being like, we get to blame institutions. Like, the way we talk about each other, the way we think about our neighbors, that they're somehow taking away from us by merely existing. They didn't ask to fucking be here. I didn't ask to be here, but we're here now.
So, yeah. Oh, you're so right. I'm only laughing because you're so right.
I love it, man. Copaganda. And it's like my least favorite day, because all it is all day is never forget what, that the police are fucking incompetent.
I'll never forget that the government lied to us about a war and dragged us into a never-ending shit show in the Middle East over oil. And I will never forget that I was basically shown images of my fellow Americans dying in New York City being attacked, so that I would be scared into thinking certain things would be okay, which I personally never did think they were okay. And I will say there were a lot of activists standing up against this. The people in charge just decided at that time.
Never forget when our government declared war on terror, that meant they could had cover to go after people that are doing climate action, indigenous people that are stopping poisonous, destructive things happening on their land that they legally have rights to. And the United States government's ignoring those trees. Never forget, the United States used these 9/11 to whitewash their police so you can never criticize them.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget, like, it's the same.
They took away our privacy.
Yeah. And they don't even catch the child traffickers. They just don't.
Well, that's a thing. And like, I don't know, everyone, like, I've said this before, I'll always say it again on when we talk about like sentencing. First of all, sentencing is so random. And also, most of the time, if you really looked at like what people consider to be a violent crime, I would consider rape to be an extremely violent crime. And often rapists do not, even like child predator rapists, do not get like very high sentences. Again, I would hope that they would go to a different system other than jail long term as an abolitionist, but it disgusts me that people who rape like anyone would get like, you know, like I've seen like 18 months, and then someone who was dealing crack would get like 10 years to life. It just makes no sense.
Well, you know, and then look at.
Well, it does. It does make sense because crack is profit. And then it's usually a person of color.
Right. And we can do something about unregulated drugs. We can legalize them and regulate them.
Right. That's it's the problem.
Still going around the bounds of fucking legality with a legalized, regulated substance. You're still finding should be treated no different than how we treat companies that go around the bounds of what they can do with their chemicals.
Right.
It's you're avoiding regulation. If you know, like, if it's going to be capitalism, let's make it capitalism. Like, this version of capitalism just leads to a bunch of people getting sick and murdered, and then the rest of us fighting over fucking Barbie dolls and Mr. Potato Heads, and it's really fucking stupid. But you know, it's just, oh, man.
Well, and I think this episode is really just a reminder that, like, days like this, which especially I feel like this day is particularly one of, like, the mega propaganda days, like, but the media, when the media uses things like this to drive narratives, and then the government uses things like this to drive narratives, I think we need to be skeptical and question it always. And I do think that it, like you said, it was a way to shut down discourse too, because I'm always nervous to say anything about 9/11 because I think people get really offended if you have any opinion other than, like, I support the first responders. And I do support people that were responding to help fellow citizens that day. I do not support anything else about how it was used, what happened, and all of that. And I feel like we should be able to, at least 22 years later, have that discussion. So we're having it.
Yeah, and, like, then if that's the case, then let's get fucking healthcare, because these people are having lung issues and breathing issues for either being first responders or just being there in the city.
Like, right, even living there.
Not a big space. No. I don't know if anybody listening has spent any time in Manhattan. Joanna and I both have lived in the New York City area. Like, I lived in Brooklyn, Queens, and I worked in Manhattan in many different roles. I worked in the club areas. I worked uptown. Like, it's not a big area. I can only imagine what the fallout of those buildings falling unscheduled must have been like. And I bet if we just had healthcare and everybody had access to good healthcare, and we just made it mandatory, we wouldn't be paying out fucking lawsuits and dragging people through all that process and tying up our courts and blah, 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 blah. Like, so many things could be fixed if we just fucking had healthcare.
Yeah. There's, like,
and it doesn't matter really.
Best example.
Divide us over. And no, we all got hurt. The working class across the world got hurt. The working class, poor brown people in Iraq and Afghanistan got seriously, irreparably harmed by us being mad about us being hurt, because our working class stewardesses and pilots and regular folk, and then obviously financial goons, suffered a loss. And, you know, people want to heal, like, all right, well, let's just give everybody fucking healthcare so that people don't have to spend here talking about, like, don't disrespect what happened to my relative on 9/11. No, I'm not. I'm disgusted that the U.S. government, politicians, media, business leaders, thought leaders, Instagram models propagate those deaths to enrich themselves or to continue a lie. And let's talk about the truth. These people died senselessly because an American empire has ravaged the world. And it's not just an American empire. It's Western capitalism, full stop. Britain, like, we could literally probably draw a line from 9/11 to Columbus landing on our shores, right? Like, you could probably, some history nerd could probably literally do a domino effect if they really wanted to connect dots, you know?
Yeah, like, it just makes sense that there were entities throughout the world that were potentially going to attack us. But this situation, again, like we were talking about this entire time, it just is particularly, it's just dark because of how it's been used against us, especially by the media and the government, to just push forward things that really just elevated the surveillance state, the power of the police, and the narrative that we're not safe. And we're really not safe, and we're really not safe, and we really are safe, like, from the actual people in those other countries. Like, what we aren't safe from is so, I think, I just feel like our safety is used against us just to create fear constantly.
Right. And they can't keep us safe. Our communities.
Exactly.
Friends keep ourselves safe. And, you know, these imaginary lines on maps are meaningless. Like, we all share ecosystems, we all share spaces, we all share air, we all share water, and we're not, I don't think I'm some sort of high in the mind, high in, like, sky fucking hippy dippy person. It's just I feel like I'm just a realist. Like, isn't this just the reality? Like, we share these resources, everybody poops kind of thing. Like, maybe I was a little like on the spectrum as a little kid, because everybody poops made sense to me. Like, you know,
yeah, like
need these things.
And like healthcare, education, housing, food, like these are all things that we all need. So I agree. I, again, when people come at us for being extreme, I feel like we are not extreme. We are realistic, and we want, and I'm sorry if other people think that having the desire for everyone to be okay is extreme.
Bummer. It's a real bummer.
I know,
for me.
Like, sorry, y'all, that I'd like for you to be okay. That's like, fuck you, kind of. Like, and a big fuck you, too. But I do want everyone to be, like, fed and housed and get their health care, all those things. Even if I don't fucking like you, I want you to have that.
Right. And this is exactly why I left the Catholic Church. You know, bring it back to what I said in the beginning. Y'all don't practice what you preach. Like,
exactly. Well, and I left the evangelical church because they're basically the Handmaid's Tale for white people.
Jesus Christ would be an abolitionist.
Oh, hell yeah. And he would burn down most of the churches because they're all fucking gaudy and shady.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The Catholic Church would probably make his head explode. It's all gold, man. It's all gold. Just
right.
Gold idolatry. That literally, I remember asking my teacher, because I had religion every day, is the tabernacle that's made of gold? Is that, I thought we weren't supposed to have like golden idols, like nice things that we stand around. Like, why is the the body of Christ is inside the tabernacle. It's like, no, that was just an excuse not to pay taxes, I think.
And I don't know, it's like there's parables because of my Bible quiz days where people try to like say like Jesus would be okay with this. It's just like, no, like he hung out and thought he should hang out with like the least among us, which were usually like addicts, lepers, and like sex workers. So I just feel like that all of the churches, I mean, maybe there's some out there that don't have it backwards. Maybe there are some Christians that could prove me wrong. But the churches are often really reliant on fear and their own kind of propaganda for control too.
And I'll be clear. I always took it this way. This is how I interpreted it. It's not that I like the, the sick and the uncouth, you know, whether they're sex workers or whatever the society deems uncouth. It's that I really can't be around the oppressor. Like, the oppressor makes me really mad. So cops,
right? Authoritarian figures,
authoritarian,
right.
Anybody that subscribes to those hierarchies, I feel like that's what Jesus was saying. It's like, everybody's cool except for those motherfuckers. Like,
totally.
They're not cool, man. They really harsh the vibe. We could be doing this all together, and these guys make us work against each other, you know? So I guess the people that do the divide and conquer are like, it's a class war, right?
And that's why they use things like 9/11 or any of these, you know, like we've said, any opportunity to use like an event is taken. Like 9/11 is like the ultimate example of that too.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, here we go. We have something good. Let's shove some shit forward because of it.
It's a good opportunity.
A good opportunity for sure.
Tragedy.
Yeah.
Never a tragedy. It's always an opportunity. And I mean, fucking local police chiefs agree.
Well, yeah. Like, think about how the local news, and I will have a propaganda article coming up on our Substack soon, like talking about this and like giving local examples. But think about how the local news specifically, and Spencer, you can talk about this way more than I can, I think, and better than I can. But I think it's egregiously done by a few news sources in the area. And I think we've mentioned before, but like WWLP is probably the worst. But Mass Live definitely does it too. And they did it most recently with the incident in Northampton where that older DoorDash driver was arrested and harmed by the police.
Marisol out of Holyoke.
Yeah. So like they did it most recently though with that article. I just did not like how it was headlined at all compared to some other news sources. And there are just other examples, just like where they show, you know, like the cops, like any of the things where it's like, oh, a cop died, so like let's like memorialize them, or like the comfort dog things are used constantly.
Yeah, the comfort dog is
it's wild to me.
How many dogs they kill a year.
Well, and because they use the dogs also to like entrap you with the drug stuff, and they're like 80% of the time wrong, which is nuts. But it's like, so I'm supposed to think that you have a comfort dog that's like super nice and like therapeutic, but you also could have like your German Shepherd come out and like throw me down. Yeah, it's just weird. It's a very bizarre.
They don't see dogs as partners. So as somebody that owns animals, and I'm not an expert by any means, but the best advice and help I've been given by other people who are really good at working with animals, that's exactly the frame of mind you have to be in. You work with them, you do not dominate, you do not lead, you work with them and they work with you, and that's how you have a really healthy animal relationship. It starts with you. You know, you can only control your thoughts. You can't control the fucking animal, the dog. So like,
yeah, good luck. Good luck with that.
With other human beings. And so I can only imagine how they interact with these dogs. And
right. It scares me kind of. I don't even want to be around the comfort dog. I'm like,
experience been around dogs, a lot of rescue dogs in my life and owning one. That PTSD can be really dangerous. And
totally.
Not only for the public, but it can be really dangerous for the handler. Not that I give a fuck if the dog attacks the handler personally, but like that dog will end up dead. So
right. Well, that's true too.
Like if the dog,
but don't they have those shady like costumes they wear where like the dogs can't attack them and they do like drills? I've seen those on like training videos. And I'm just like, what is the point of this?
I'm not saying there isn't a world where you can train a dog to defend and fight.
No, I agree, but that's also like
the best
weird.
Health
it's dog. Weird
it's weird. No, I don't, I'm anti
like stop person. Using dogs as like a defense force. No,
I'm definitively anti teaching a dog to be violent. Like I'm,
yeah, like making it attack and stuff. It's so abusive to me.
It's still a sentient being and you're giving it limited times where it's allowed to be very violent, so
it could snap like randomly.
You know, that's the whole point of like, you have to respect who you're working with, and you don't own it, you're not leading it, like it has its own thoughts and its
yeah, like animals can snap, like even if they're the most well-trained animal. I mean, growing up with animals, same, like my dad always taught me that, like even if it's the sweetest dog, it could fucking bite your hand off.
Abolish canine units. And canine units are actually coming under scrutiny in I think coming up to the Supreme Court in the next couple of years. So,
and no more horses too. Like leave the animals the fuck out of it. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like it's not the like 1900s. You have fucking motorcycles. Get the fuck off
then
a horse.
They can blame the animal. It's
yeah, but just stop. Like the fucking horse wants you to ride it around and shoot people. It's so fucking weird.
So as we said, copaganda, this is all the stuff with 9/11 led to us spending even more money on this, and it's all inherently bad. Like even a comfort dog is likely getting abused, and even if they're not, like just Google the DOJ report from 2018 about the epidemic of dog killings. There's two cops in Detroit that have killed 100 dogs each, and
that's so messed up.
Like that's a deranged person that still wants
that's
to stay on the job. If I was on the job and I was forced to kill, if I really did fear for my life, like,
well, yeah, like if it's coming at you or something, maybe, but like, my God,
the second dog, I'm like, this job ain't for me.
Same, because it's scary to have a dog run at you and attack you, like, and then have to shoot it.
Like, that's crazy. That's
it is crazy.
To me, that's a red flag. Like, that person should not be have jurisdiction to fire a weapon.
Yeah, it seems like they're hunting dogs and potentially like it.
So they kill a lot of dogs per year, a lot. And we don't actually know because dogs aren't people. Yeah. So you're less likely to report it or it be found out it was actually a cop. Because, you know, people report their dogs just disappeared or ended up dead or found him with a bullet in it, like limping home. Like, who knows? It happens. Like, and that could have been anybody. There's a lot of fucking guns in this country.
That's true, too, sadly.
You know,
and there's a lot of stray dogs that I'm sure they just kill.
The South. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Suburbs in Virginia, and it's wild feral dogs everywhere. It's a real problem, but anyway, it's irrelevant. And we see how they value life. They kill a lot of fucking dogs. And maybe you neoliberals that stomach listening to us, maybe the dogs will push you over the edge. To me, it's more like, oh, of course they kill a lot of dogs. That actually is, I'm shocked that I was shocked by the number.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised they killed them either, but I also was shocked by the number.
25 to 50 a day.
Yeah, it was too many a day. I was just like, really? Wow. Like, I'm not surprised that it happens because they're cops and they shoot randomly people, but the amount is just really telling to me.
That's specifically dogs. I probably wasn't even counting all the other obscure animals.
Yeah, random animals or just things that happen. Yeah.
Pirates in people's homes.
Like, yeah. And the damage they do, even when they just flip your house, it's all fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Like when they flashbang your house and your cat dies. Anyway, sorry people. So this is what 9/11 has wrought us: paramilitary police and propaganda matters because it desensitizes us. It quickly can turn a narrative, just like 9/11 was turned, to enhance the control and the police state, which helps the rich people, gives control their monopolies, and they don't actually have to do it. We get to pay for the pleasure. So thank you for coming along on the journey on us on our 9/11 memorial. I would like to segue into ghoulery and tomfoolery, and it involves the police, and it involves police narratives and how things are reported. So this weekend, I believe Saturday, September 10th or 9th, Josh Landis of Pittsfield was at WAMC, Joanna?
Yeah, he is. Yep. The Berkshire Bureau.
So he, via Twitter, reported that the Mass State Police had exchanged fire, and well, that's what they're saying. But basically, Mass State Police murdered somebody, and the gist of the story was the Mass State Police are handing over all inquiry to the Northwestern DA Sullivan. And that's the same DA that Andrew Quimier is currently embroiled in a lawsuit over police records. We're just telling you the facts of the case. I don't want to infer, but usually when police say that when they were at the scene, the person looked like they weren't going to back down and the person ends up dead and it says officer involved shooting, it usually means they're trying to do damage control and sort it out. And before they make any real statement, they talk in vagaries. And it happened in Hancock, Massachusetts, which is way out there. That's why the Mass State Police respond, because they don't have a local police force. So the Mass State Police get to show up and summarily execute somebody, looks like on their own property. So Mass State Police showed up and murdered people. And my ghoulery and tomfoolery take is, my issue beyond anything is, like, regardless of what happened here, most people's experience with the government, state, local, federal, it's always with an agent with a gun. So no wonder this ends with somebody getting shot. Like, I don't understand why ever, like, this to me is like the reason we see so many agents of the state getting in murderous altercations with people is because they're going on their property with weapons. If you just want to talk to somebody, you shouldn't roll up, loaded up. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Joanna, thoughts?
Well, I think it's interesting that they say they're exchange of fire, because that's when
I don't know if
people
they
are.
said exchange of fire, but they, I'm sorry, I gotta, I
You're fine. So, like, that's just one of those times when people are like, oh my goodness, like, well, of course you'd shoot back. And to that, I'm just like, well, if you're trained at shooting and not ridiculous, you probably should be able to shoot someone in the leg too over killing them. But I don't think we should send armed people. So I don't remember if it was like an exchange or not. Do you have that?
I'm gonna look it up right now. But to clarify on the whole why they don't shoot at they shoot center mass.
No,
This
I
is
know.
no the policy. This is the loose policy that you'll see in any police department for people listening at home. The reason they have to be sure they can destabilize the attacker for their own safety. So
Okay.
shooting the leg isn't gonna stop them from shooting you back.
Okay.
So if you're gonna shoot to kill. Shoot center mass.
No shooting then in my book, because I just, that's my issue with this. That's my take. I just feel like I grew up actually like on the border of Pittsfield and Hancock, near Hancock Shaker Village. So I'm not sure. Hancock's like a really long, tiny town, and it
I drive.
borders, yeah, it borders like Pittsfield, Lanesboro, and a couple other towns even. So I'm not sure where in Hancock this occurred, but it's a really sleepy little town.
Okay, so I'm gonna read the tweet directly from Josh Landes at WAMC. His handle is Josh Landes WAMC on Twitter. I refuse to call it by its new name, so Twitter. He wrote from the Berkshire DA's office, Mass State Police shot and killed somebody in Hancock this morning. On Saturday, September 9th, at approximately 7 a.m., an individual was killed in a confrontation with a Massachusetts State Police officer. State police were called to a residence in Richmond Road, Hancock, Massachusetts, for a report of a domestic incident. Preliminary investigations, including crime scene analysis and civilian interviews, indicate that when the officer arrived on the scene, the officer encountered an individual at the residence. Initial investigation indicates that when the officer arrived, the individual armed with a weapon approached and would not back down following requests to stop, resulting in the officer discharging his weapon. CPR was performed on the scene. County ambulance responded and pronounced the individual dead. I'm just blowing this up here. District Attorney Shogru, in conjunction with the State Police Detective Unit, is coordinated in the investigation. District Attorney dispatched First Assistant District Attorney Marianne Shelby to the scene to assist in the investigation. As part of this investigation, law enforcement will be reviewing body and cruiser cameras. The Pittsfield Police Department responded to the scene shortly after the incident and assisted in resuscitation efforts. The District Attorney's Office and the State Police Detective Unit assigned to the office are investigating along with other specialized units of the State Police. The investigation is in its early stages. Hancock, Massachusetts does not have a local law enforcement body. The Massachusetts State Police are a primary law enforcement agency providing police services to Hancock. The Massachusetts State Police conducts a review of all force incidents. Use of force incidents. So it's your typical lawyer speak. It's fascinating that the prosecutors were there so fast.
Well, they gotta cover everything. Shagru's new too. He was elected this year. But
And I
he's
guess,
a seasoned prosecutor though.
yeah, I don't know, is that a good thing?
And no, he no, but he
It's not. It's not. It's none of it's good. Anyways, prosecutors are cops. Anyways, this is just. It just reeks to me. I like. You know, we have limited information at the time, and there's reports.
Right, that's the thing. It's so limited because they're going to say they're investigating it.
And Josh Landes is not being a stenographer here. He asked questions. This is all they gave him. He literally.
Yeah, that's all he got is that statement. Yeah.
He's not going to flower it up for them. He's like, this is the crappy statement I got. He's not saying that, but that's what I'm seeing. You know, that's how I'm reading it. And so kudos to him. So that's how you do reporting. Like, this is like their crappy answer. you know, a lot of that's just being so vague. It's just like muddying the waters. If you don't have any answers, don't give any fucking answers. I'm not saying that makes anybody feel good, but this is seems to me like they're already doing the baseline that, oh, this guy was a drug addict. He beat his wife. And it's like, okay, all of that is bad, but that doesn't warrant a death sentence with no judge, jury. And even then, the state shouldn't have death sentences. This doesn't solve the problem. Now somebody's dead.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the person that was probably a victim, possibly of domestic abuse, witnessed a murder that day too.
Is that in the report?
Well, they said they were there for a domestic incident.
Okay, yeah, so that's upsetting.
So let's even just presume that this civilian, this man who is dead now, is a piece of shit. Still right. Doesn't make any sense that he ends up dead with no process. And again, like, if you show up, you know this person's unhinged, and you show up right ready to fucking gunfight, I don't know.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad.
And, you know, this will, you know, now maybe Hancock will get a fucking police department out of the deal or some bullshit. Like, you know, it's like.
Yeah, we'll see, though. We'll see. I don't know if they will, just because of population and funding. Plus, like, I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying, though. I do think it will probably be.
Police are dispatched to prevent violence and they go out and commit violence regardless.
I know, that's the thing for me.
How is this be normalized? And we'll see how WWLP or Mass Live or any they spin it. And when the state police, you know, look less than stellar here.
Well, and I haven't seen it covered by anyone else. That's the thing about stuff in the Berkshires. Like, it's often overlooked. And that's scary to me. So I'm really glad Josh reports on these things.
It's never rich people. Like, the Berkshires is the have and the have-nots, you know? And all the violence and bad things happen to the have-nots, it feels like.
Yeah, I agree.
The disparity there, to me, it seems really, really wide.
It is. It is extreme. North Adams is the most, like, lowest income state, like, town in the state, and it's located in the northern Berkshire County, so it's definitely a lower income population other than the people who live there that are wealthy, but a lot of times it's second homeowners that frequent the areas. It's like their vacation land.
So I guess, you know, it's kind of a sour note, but that is ghoulery and tomfoolery. We have to come up with some other ways to deal with our problems, people. That's why we do the ghoulery. That's why we highlight propaganda. That's why 9/11 is a tragic day. It's not tragic for the reasons that everybody's saying never forget. Never forget that a lot of bad things led to 9/11 that we were complicit in as a culture. And white people, we have to own that. Like, even if you're poor, that sucks and that's bad. But our brethren that protects us baseline a little bit, just our skin color, the same people, the same skin color who seem to think they're on a holy mission, cause all these fucking bad things to happen. Needless death. Like, nobody needed to die. And, you know, 3,000 people died of COVID and people think it's a fucking hoax, but we're remembering 3,000 people that died because our capitalist douchebags raped and pillaged the world and people fought back. And we died. The working people died and got hurt. So, you know, never forget, I guess.
They won't let us.
And we won't let them either.
I'm just saying, like, I've tried to forget.
Well, lots of exciting stuff coming up this fall. It's not all bad, but 9/11 needs to be properly remembered. So never forget. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember, you can go to our website, www.theweedout.com. We host all our links and anything we refer to, we feel that requires some backup information. We like to cover our own bases. If you have anything you want to reach out to us about, feel free to email us, theweedout@gmail.com or via social media, whatever you're more comfortable with. We love to hear from y'all. Thank you for listening and look forward to hearing from you. And rock on.
Take care, everybody.